The Jason Rantz Show.
Always glad to see Seattle radio host Jason Rantz.
It's always a pleasure to watch you and a pleasure now to host you.
Jason, I just love your coverage of what's been going on in Seattle.
Jason, this is as bad as it gets in America.
Jason Rantz, great to see you. Thank you.
Long Form, presented by Northgate Rare Coins and Precious Metals.
Somewhat inexplicably, the state Supreme Court decided yesterday to allow the state of Washington to move forward with collecting a capital gains tax. They are currently deciding at the Supreme Court whether or not a capital gains tax would be unconstitutional based upon whether or not they consider it to be an income tax. And as we said yesterday, the IRS considers it to be an income tax. It's on the income tax form for individuals. So it seems like a no-brainer that this should be kicked out. So why in the world would the state Supreme Court allow the state to actually collect? That doesn't seem to bode well for the future of this case. Joining me on the line to discuss is Jackson Maynard. He's the executive director of the Citizen Action Defense Fund. Jackson, welcome back to the show.
Absolutely. Glad to be here, Jason. Thanks for having me on your show.
This can't be a good sign of what's to come.
Well, I think it's a little hard to read the tea leaves sometimes when you're trying to interpret state Supreme Court justice opinions. That said, when they issue a unanimous order, I think you would be – it's not unlikely that that could give you an indication of where the court intends to go on the merits. They were really only deciding a motion. It's a procedural thing. It was – whether or not the Department of Revenue could continue collecting or setting up plans and rules to collect the tax. So it was kind of a hoop they had to jump through, which, by the way, my organization pointed out. I was kind of proud of the fact that early on back in October, when we learned the Department of Revenue was going to collect this tax, we sent them a cease and desist letter and said, sorry, you can't just ignore the trial court order in ruling that the tax was unconstitutional. If you want to try to have that set aside, there's a step you have to go through. You have to ask permission from the appellate court to be able to do that. And they sent a letter back saying, oh, no, we don't think we have to. And yet eventually they did file the motion for stay, and that's what the court ruled on. So it was technically a procedural motion, but yeah, it could give an indication of how the court intends to rule on the merits when they hear the case in January.
Yeah, because one of two things can happen, and obviously it depends on when the result comes in from the court, when the decision comes down, but they either did all this work for nothing, which is just a waste of time and resources, or they end up collecting money from folks that you'll never see again if the court decides that this was unconstitutional.
Well, that was one of the aspects of the motion that I really, strongly disagreed with the court on, because the state was trying to say that it would suffer more harm in losing $500 million in revenue that it was going to take from taxpayers, when, by the way, they were seeing $700 million more than they were expecting in anticipated revenue for this coming budget cycle. That announcement came out, I believe, while their motion was pending. So they got $700 million more they're unanticipated in the bank. I don't know how many of your listeners are in that position. And yet they made the claim that if they did not have this $500 million, that somehow they would be harmed more than the taxpayers who are suffering, in a difficult economy, with hyperinflation, that they were going to suffer more than those taxpayers they wanted that money from. And I did not think that they had the better argument there. I respectfully disagreed with the court, but that's where they came down.
But doesn't that tell you all you need to know about their thinking? The reason why folks are okay with what is very clearly an income tax is because it impacts rich people. I saw this argument yesterday on a Twitter feed from a whole bunch of people who work at The Stranger and read The Stranger, that this is only a tax that impacts 0.2% of the state, and why are you shilling for the rich? It has nothing to do with shilling for anyone. It has something to do with the fact that it is unconstitutional, and it doesn't matter how many people are impacted by it. If it's small or if it's few or large, it's still unconstitutional.
There's that. There's that aspect of it, the fact that in order for the state to allow this trial balloon tax, and that's what it was, when the legislature passed this a couple of years ago, we know they viewed it as a trial balloon for a statewide income tax, because we have emails that other groups found that among legislative proponents that said that that was part of their rationale to try to get the state Supreme Court to revisit the 100 years or so of case law where they have rejected time after time, and where voters of the state had rejected a similar type of tax proposal. And so that is another very frustrating aspect of this. And they're not just going to stop with the folks that they targeted with this tax. I mean, their larger game plan is to have a statewide income tax, and they're trying to lay that groundwork. And if they get the court to overrule, again, 100 years of case law, that would pave the way for them to do that.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic leading into this? Because, again, I generally take a pessimistic view of this particular court, that they seem to be open about their activism.
Well, I want to, you know, I'm an officer of the court, and I'm obligated to have, you know, respect for the court and for the decisions. And, you know, while I do disagree with it, you know, we do have additional arguments that our group and other groups, and certainly the folks challenging this, and they're ably represented, some of the best lawyers in the state. And, you know, I believe in the process. I believe in the legal process. I think it worked to force the agency to follow the process. I think that's very important. And, you know, I'm hoping that the court will take a look at the arguments anew now that they've kind of resolved this procedural thing. And then, you know, hopefully do the right thing in upholding the 100 years of case law. If they don't, then there still is the opportunity to appeal this case from state Supreme Court to the United States Supreme Court. There's issues involving the Commerce Clause, because you're essentially taxing property in that could be held in different states in different ways. And under some of the cases, the state Supreme Court has said that's not allowed. You can't do that if you're going to try to tax people. You can't just set up separate classes of property if that impacts interstate commerce. So there is an opportunity to have further review of this matter by the United States Supreme Court. That said, they get thousands of requests per year to hear cases, and they only take, you know, a relatively small percentage of those. So it's a long shot. It's not impossible. The other kind of funny wrinkle in this is that you could have the folks challenging the tax, if they did appeal the state Supreme Court to the U.S. Supreme Court, then they may ask for a stay, and you'd have the roles reversed. You'd have the state trying to argue, no, a stay is not necessary, and the challengers arguing the opposite. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we have to have the rule of law in the state. Businesses and individuals depend on consistent interpretation by the state Supreme Court on they're going to handle cases the same way. And there's this doctrine of stare decisis that I know has been talked about a lot. And it's just very important that before they overturn a case, that they have to have really, really good reasons for it. And there is, in my mind, and as I think the challengers have argued effectively, there's no good reason to overturn that 100 years of precedent that everybody has relied on in the state.
Last question for you. When it comes to the work you do with the Citizen Action Defense Fund, when you look at this upcoming state legislature, obviously the midterms did not go the way Republicans had hoped here in Washington state and, frankly, around the country. Do you have any hope that the madness when it comes to the taxing and spending is going to get curtailed at all? Like, do you think they learned any kind of lesson, lawmakers, or did we just tell them, actually, we're happy with what you've been doing the last several years?
Yeah, you know, the Citizen Action Defense Fund is a, you know, nonpartisan non-political group. Yeah, I would just say, you know, I think kind of looking back and kind of looking at it from a purely policy and legal sort of issue, what strikes me as a little strange is it never seems like it's enough money. You know, we've got increases to the driver's license fees and gas taxes. We've got B&O taxes. We've got sales taxes, property taxes that all of your listeners have to pay. There is more money coming into Olympia than ever in the history of the state. In the last 10 years, the state budget has doubled. And I don't know how many of your listeners can say that about their personal budgets, especially in light, again, of the economy and inflation and everything. And yet, for some reason, it never seems like enough. And, you know, elections have consequences. And I think we need to look very hard and long and, make sure that, you know, your listeners are electing people that are taking all of that into consideration when they're making decisions in Olympia about the state budget and about how much they need. I know there have been some discussions about returning money back to the taxpayers. A lot of folks in other states did that.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck doing that here in Washington.
No kidding. Yeah.
Well, I hope people check out the work that you guys are doing. It's a really good group, citizenactiondefense.org, if you want to learn more about what they're up to over at the Citizen Action Defense Fund. We've been talking with the executive director, Jackson Maynard. Again, citizenactiondefense.org. Thank you so much for stopping by. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Anytime.
You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.